Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Oh, yeah. That sweet, sweet basketball music is back, everybody. And so am I. That's right. Hello, everyone. It's your good friend, Patrick O'Dowd, joined by his college basketball partner in crime guru, Mr. March Madness, PC Tunney. And we are here bringing you the Pick and Roll podcast on the Chair Shot Radio Network, a part of the chairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
And we are back to talk about the week that was and a little bit of the week that is to be in the world of college basketball as we're entering into the final 2 weeks of the regular season. Most teams are playing four games before conference tournament time, though we will start getting our first conference tournaments, Tony, next week as that sort of rolls through. The mid-majors should start playing their tournaments out soon, and that's always very, very exciting.
It's always fun for those schools because when they start showing the list of teams that are in, like they get like those 3-4 days of their name there being one of only a few teams in, you know, and it's also fun to watch some of those games. If you know, there's not a whole heck of a lot of going on with the NFL. I shouldn't say there is a heck of a lot going on, but the NFL has stopped. So if you're looking for something else besides the NFL, some of these lower tiered conferences, as far as power rankings go, end up with some pretty good conference finals. So can't wait for that to start.
Yeah. I love a good mid-major. As a guy who attended a mid-major school, I attended Eastern Illinois University. They were part of the Ohio Valley Conference, the OVC. And I remember, so my junior year, Eastern Illinois made the NCAA tournament. We won our OVC conference tournament. And I remember that, this is a true story. I'm going to tell this true story about Patrick O'Dowd. Patrick O'Dowd. No, this, I'm not joking.
It's like the real world.
You're about to laugh.
It's like the real world is a true story.
Yeah, something like that. I was one of the students who helped create the student section that now exists at Eastern Illinois University.
Okay.
I
thought you were going to say, I thought you were going to say you stormed the court after a win or something.
I have stormed a court after a win. We'll talk about court storming in a second, but because that is on the agenda today. We're gonna talk court storming. We're gonna talk some number one seeds, and we're gonna talk some power conference bowl teams. That's on the agenda. But no, so true story. I was a resident assistant at Eastern Illinois University, which meant that I was a student advisor on a floor, but part of that job brought me back to campus early. And because I was back after winter break was over, leading into the spring semester, there's not a lot of people around. And our school was so small that if you were a student, you got to go to games for free. Well, me and my buddies who were on staff together, we were kind of bored. Wasn't really much going on. We're like, hey, there's a basketball game tonight. Let's go and just go act the fool. So the three of us, we bust into our fire emergency kits and we pull out these little air horns. And the three of us go to this game. And I'll never forget it because it's me and these two guys who are new to the job who, let's just say, they weren't always on the like they weren't bad kids, but they got into mischief, right? So we go to this game and EIU's playing and we're just losing our minds for everything. We're blowing the air horns, we're going nuts. There was another group of students who we knew that were down on like a lower level. We're like waving and yelling at each other. And about halfway through the second half, this woman comes up to us. And she's suited up. She's got the ID. And she's like, are you the guys that are like acting all crazy and making that noise? And the two guys next to me, their flight instinct kicks in. And they're like, no. I was like, no, yeah, that was us.
Let's pause the story right here. Okay. I'm not going to ruin the story, but clearly this can go one of two ways.
Yes.
Continue.
So I'm like, yes, it was us. She was like, if I guarantee you free nachos for every remaining home game, will you come back and do this over?
Oh, that's awesome.
And I was like, well, yeah. And through that, I met, through that, I got together with some of the other students that were there. We started independently of the athletic department outside of, I met the assistant, one of the assistant athletic directors who was like an advisor for us, but we started what, I don't remember what it's called now. It became the student section at Eastern Illinois University. I was one of the first people to, like, it started as a recognized student organization. And I remember because I was part of that group and because I did so much, the year Eastern Illinois made it to the NCAA tournament, I won free tickets to go see EIU play at the finals of the conference tournament, because we were one of those conference tournaments where you played on your home gym until you got to the semis. And then the semifinals and the finals were played at Nashville, Tennessee. So I got to go see EIU play at Nashville, Tennessee. That year they lost in that round. So I'm getting the stories confused, but then the following year they came back and they won the whole tournament and they went, and then they lost in the first round to Arizona. They were a 15 seed. They lost to Arizona, who was a 2. And I was given the opportunity. I could have gone to that game as well. And I didn't think my dad would be able to foot the bill for it. And he was like, well, why didn't you go? I would have paid. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, now I know. I missed out seeing my team. But the whole deal. So mid-major tournaments are awesome. They're so great. That's their NCAA tournament. And a lot of these teams are one and dones, except for the occasional Cinderella story, like an FAU or a Fairleigh Dickinson, those sorts of teams. It's a lot of fun and it's great. But you mentioned court storming, and so that's where we will start. Oh, you got something.
That's a great freaking story. And I love the fact that you won something. So you definitely had an impact on what started a tradition there. That's just a great story overall. Why don't we do this? Why don't we take a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, NCAA men's basketball talk commercial free for the rest of the show. What do you think, Pod?
Sounds like a plan. I think I can get behind that.
All right. ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. We'll be right back.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
All right. Welcome back, everyone, to the Pick and Roll Podcast. Patrick O'Dowd, PC Tunney, ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot, as Tunney mentioned before. Get soft style. Spend a few dollars more. You feel great on your giblets. So we got a few topics. Last week we really dug in, did a lot of talk about the top 16 seeds, those quote unquote protected seeds. This week we're gonna try to streamline our podcast just a little bit, stay a little more focused. Those first go arounds, you kind of learn a little bit about what you're gonna do. But there were three topics that I really wanted to cover today, and the first one that we'll do, by the way, I remember the name of it. It's called the Blue Crew now. They're just called the Blue Crew, and that's what they've been. But I wanted, you talked about court storming, and you were like, you've never participated in a court storm. And I'm like, actually, that's not true, because we had a great time, and we beat Murray State, and Murray State was like the team to beat in the OVC until they changed conferences. And so when we beat them, I remember that was huge. And standing next to Kyle Hill and Henry Dommerkant with the names of the two players, those were our two stars, celebrate next to those days, it was a big deal. But there's been a lot of squawking this year because court storming, which has been a thing in college basketball for gosh, I don't even remember how long, but this year there's been a couple of notable incidents that haven't led to anybody getting seriously hurt, but it has led to a bit of an outcry amongst some coaches, amongst some pundits, about ending court storms. And so the big things that have happened: Caitlin Clark earlier in the season for Iowa, the best women's basketball player in the country right now. Iowa lost a game. I can't even remember who it was against, but somebody collided with her in a court storm. She dropped to the ground like a sack of potatoes. She was fine. She was shaken up, and she was fine. But then this past week, Kyle Filipowski of Duke loses to
Wake Forest.
Wake Forest. That's right, because I told you to watch out for Wake Forest. That was like the one upset I got right, was Wake Forest knocking off Duke. But Kyle Filipowski, he's still on the court. He's slowly walking off the court, and he collides with another guy, tweaks his knee. Manager for Duke, among some other players, they kind of wait against the crowd and help him off the court. And then we get to John Shire on the podium starting with, great job, Wake Forest. They won this game. They did terrific. But court storming, like, when are we going to end this? When are we going to stop this? Somebody's going to get hurt. And so it's the question of the hour. It's been beat to death by a lot of other pundits, but we're here. We're the chair shot. We should have our moment in the sun to talk about it a little bit too. So I'll start with you. How do you feel about court storms? Do you think they should stay? Do you think you should legislate them? That's one of the things I've heard talked about, is do you set a clock or a timer before you let them on? What do you do? What are your thoughts on court storming in college basketball?
So would you say that professional sports is run more efficiently and effectively than college sports as a whole?
Yeah, I think that's a fair-ish, malice at the palace notwithstanding. Or
well, that's players. That's, yeah. And to somebody's point,
that's the other side of it.
To somebody's point, that I heard was, the fans don't belong on the court, and the players don't belong in the stands. It's unnecessary. It's not going to stop the fandom and craziness of these kids, right? They're still going to go.
Right.
They just—it's unnecessary. And like you said, it's been a topic for a while. We've just had two bigger, higher profile names this year have it happen to, higher profile. I mean, it, possibly the greatest college women's basketball player of all time, if she can win a national championship this year, Caitlin Clark. And then, a top star for Duke University. And as Dick Vitale used to say, Duke is on TV more than Leave It to Beaver. So that just tells you how much of a blue blood they are when it comes to basketball. Right. So it's unnecessary. Don't let it happen. But the NCAA doesn't feel that way because they haven't imposed a lot of these the fines and things of nature against these schools, and they haven't made it heavy enough to stop it. It's just someone's going to really get hurt and really going to cost the team a season, and then it's going to be too late because that already happened to someone.
I agree with you to a point in the sense that I 1,000% worry about the safety of particularly the visiting players trying to get off.
And here, let me just say this real quick. I'm sorry, but holy shit. Here comes the storm. While I've never stormed the court as a fan, I've played in a high school basketball game where we had to stay in the locker room after the game and the police had to walk us out to our bus. So maybe I come more from that perspective then.
Yeah, sure. And here's the thing is it's something that is decidedly college sports because this isn't limited to basketball. Like they have stormed football fields. Oh, yeah. Goalposts have gone down and been thrown in rivers. So it is one of those things that a part of me would hate to lose what I think is one of the things that makes college basketball and college sports sort of uniquely college, because one of my favorite all-time college basketball memories in the history of the University of Illinois as a University of Illinois fan was when Illinois desperately trying to find a way. I think this is the guy, what was it, 2012? Something like that. It was forever ago. They're playing number one ranked Indiana with Yogi Ferrell and those players. And Illinois is desperate for a win. And they mount this comeback after being down double digits in the second half. DJ Richardson just goes off. And they have an inbound play with about a second to go where Tyler Griffey breaks free, roll into the basket, gets a layup. Illinois beats number one Indiana. And the image of that court, of the students and the fans storming that court, like there is something that's powerful and kind of magical and fandom to that imagery. On the other side of it, I don't want somebody to get hurt. And so I do think security is an important thing. I've heard a lot of people like talking about, you know, is there a way to just kind of keep the students off until the players get off? And it really depends on the school and what they can afford. And what the local law enforcement can actually provide, because a lot of people don't understand this. Campus, like, so security at a sporting event. So there is like the people that pat you down and do the wands and shit when you walk into the arena. And there are some of those folks that are the dudes around the court. But most of the folks that are going to actually be preventative and have the ability to stop people are the badges. Are local and university police departments that can be hired to work those games. And there's two pieces of it. Tony made the little money motion. Part of it's money. The other is where you are. So the University of Massachusetts, for example, Amherst is not a big town. The university is big. It's 20,000 plus students. But the city, the town of Amherst itself and its surrounding area, they don't have a lot of police. So you can't really pay to have more security there because then you don't have police for the surrounding town. And so it's tough. Now, do I think a Texas or a Wisconsin or a Duke, like I do think higher profile schools, Kentucky can probably do it.
So I have a solution that people might not like, but it only involves employing 8 law enforcement officers.
Okay.
Four human, 4 canine, 4 corners of the court. You want to run out there? Good luck getting this dog chewing your ass up. And it only has to happen once to a kid.
We might need to change this podcast to Story Time with Patrick, because I have seen a drunken college student think they could pet the dog held by the police officer. Oh, boy. Was that a mistake? And then that student tried to sue the school. he did not win. So anyway, Yeah, so that's our statement of core. I think it should stay in some way. I think that it's hard, like as you kind of said, the genie's been out of the bottle for so long that it's hard to pull it back. I also do think it is something that just is cool for college students. Is the game back on?
Yes, they're everybody, back. Everybody's okay.
Tony's currently watching Indiana take on Wisconsin on Peacock as we record this on Tuesday.
Yeah, you listen Thursday. Yeah.
Did Wisconsin just? Wisconsin just take the lead?
It's 61-58, 7.5 to go. But yeah, there is a weird front coming through the Midwest right now, and Indiana is slightly ahead of us in Wisconsin, where it's been 70 degrees all day, and by tomorrow morning it's going to be 20 degrees. So there is some really weird inclement weather happening throughout that belt. It was tied at 54 with about 10 minutes left. They had to evacuate the arena and take the players to their locker rooms, but they are now back, and it was weather related, and hopefully Wisconsin can hold on. There's your Tuesday night update.
There's your Tuesday night update. All right, let's get into some tournament talk. And last week we did a lot of talk on the protected seeds, the top 16 seeds. And we kind of did a big rundown because, you know, the NCAA revealed their first protected seeds. We're not going to do another round of discussing protected seeds. What I wanted to do today, and last week on this program, I said that there were two teams that were head and shoulders above everybody else in the University of Connecticut and Purdue. In a DM thread that Tony and I have had going back and forth talking college basketball, I had made a statement about a third team, the University of Houston, the Houston Cougars. And I said that if they got through their week this week and beat Baylor at Baylor, that I think that puts Houston in the same category as UConn and Purdue as what I've been calling teams that I trust and think are head and shoulders above anybody else. And these three teams are the three teams I most trust to win six games in a row in March to early April. And they are without a doubt, and Tony, if you disagree with me, feel free to chime in, but they're without a doubt going to be number one seeds on Selection Sunday.
It's funny because, like, Purdue and UConn, yeah. And I want to say Houston too, but, like, what if they lose to Kansas and get bounced in the first round of their tournament? I think probably still. It's weird because you have these teams with 24 and 3 and 25 and 3 records, the three teams you mentioned. And then after that, you have seven more teams with 20 plus wins and only 6 losses. It's insane. This is just a crazy year for basketball. But yeah, I agree.
Right. Here's my one thing about Houston. This is what's so crazy about what Houston does and it did and what everybody needs to pay attention to. So Houston jumped conferences this year. They went from the American Athletic Conference, a borderline, you know, they're an upper mid-major, and they were boat racing everybody in the AAC. But everybody said when they jumped to the Big 12, that they were going to take a step back. They not only are on top of the conference, they have a 2-game lead on everybody. As we're recording this podcast, they are up 11 on Cincinnati. They are with 6 minutes to go. Like, Houston doesn't score. That's my big concern about Houston, but they defend. They defend so well. And
their losses, their losses are insane because they've lost to Iowa State at Iowa State by 4. They've lost to Kansas at Kansas. That's probably their worst loss, by 13, which isn't really that embarrassing. The only questionable thing is they lost to TCU, but, like, seriously, that's all.
And TCU is a 19-win team too.
Right. So,
like, they're like impressive. The Big 12 is a great conference. So they got a 2-game. They're 2 games up on everybody, and so that then leads to the question: with those three number one seeds set, who do we think gets that fourth number one seed? Because every time you think you can believe in a team, something happens. For example, again, to tell you how wrong Patrick O'Dowd was all last podcast, I was sitting here being like, Arizona, man, they look like they figured it out. They're beating the brakes off of people. they're going to take on Washington State. Tunney's like, watch out for Washington State. I think Washington State looks pretty good. I'm like, no.
Hold on. You can't just let yourself look bad by yourself, because then Washington.
No, but you would.
Yeah, but then Washington State turns around and loses to Arizona State. Makes me look like an idiot.
But that's not the thing. But Arizona, the team I'm trumping up, well, I was like, watch out, watch out, watch out. And what do? They lose to Washington State. Yeah. And then, yeah, Washington State loses to Arizona State. So, you know, and those two, I mean, those were both tournament teams, but I thought Arizona would just, I thought they would handle their business. I thought they looked better, that they looked strong, and then boom, they lose. Marquette, I was, I was so excited when Marquette and UConn played at Hartford. Was ready for that game, thought it was going to be a great game, and I posted the Simpsons gif of the kid saying, stop, stop, he's already dead, because UConn just crushed them. Then they lost to Creighton, then lost the next day to who did Creighton lose to the other day? Because Creighton turned around and lost right after they beat UConn, and then they turned around and lost to St. John's. They lost to St. John's.
Yes, after Pitino made the statement that his whole team sucked, they've won two games. You go to Marquette, though, talk about a bounce back after losing a big game badly. The next two games, which is their last two games, they've won by an average of 29 points.
Right. Like, and that's the thing is they've, you know, you've got Kolick and Cockburner. Like, you've got talent. They're so good.
I think it's a two-part question if you want to answer who's the fourth one seed. And I look at it this way. Do you think anybody from the SEC or ACC are good enough to end up being a one seed? Do you think that Arizona can bring the Pac-12 back to the one seed? Or do you think it's going to be a second Big 12 or second Big East team? Because those are your options, right?
Right. I know people rip on Rick Barnes. I like Tennessee. I think Tennessee with Dalton Connect and their big man is elude me. He's more of a stretch four than a five. He's really good. But they're another team. They defend really well.
Josiah Jordan James?
Yes. Yeah. They're really good offensively. They defend really well. Dalton Connect has been the surprise scorer for the conference.
So
I think he could do it from the SEC if Tennessee wins the SEC.
Let me tell
if they see it through.
Let me tell you Tennessee's next four games. Are you ready?
Oh, it's a gauntlet.
Home against number 11 Auburn, at Alabama, yep. At South Carolina, yep. And home to Kentucky. All top 20 teams.
Right. All four of those games are games Tennessee can lose. All four of those games, I think Tennessee can win. I think they can go 3-1. I think they beat South Carolina. I think they beat Auburn. I think they lose to Kentucky, and I think they beat Alabama.
So who do you think is your
support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Who's your fourth one seed then?
I don't know. That's the point of this exercise. The point of this exercise is to talk about these teams.
I think I've narrowed it down.
I don't think it's Kansas.
I don't think it's Kansas or Iowa State because there's too much competition there that they won't be able
to
run it out. Okay, so I don't also think it's anybody from the SEC considering the amount of people that Tennessee has to play. So I think it's not going to be North Carolina or Duke. But if outside chance North Carolina runs the table the rest of the way and everybody else kind of need help, that's where I sit. But here where it is. Marquette runs the table, one seed. Arizona runs the table, one seed. Give me Arizona finishing up, cleaning up in their conference.
You know, y'all, he picked Arizona over Marquette, so it didn't sound like a homer. That's what that was. That was PC Tunney and his Milwaukee ties.
I would say Arizona. I'm being honest with you. You know me as a Packer fan, and I'm on. No, I'm not winking at you, Patch. You son of a biscuit.
Gotcha. I'm with you. Carry all the way. But you agree with me. If Tennessee somehow runs the table with those 3-1,
easy.
That's a one seed.
Easy.
And that's the thing. Now, again. We'll see. It's so funny, though. You're talking about these teams. I don't trust North Carolina. North Carolina.
RJ Davis has put in so much work. Fourth year, raised his scoring.
He scored 49 points on Monday. But here's the thing: if RJ Davis doesn't go nuclear, North Carolina loses to Miami because Miami was like they were terrible outside of RJ Davis. Terrible. Now. The NCAA tournament is made for stars. And so that is something that, like, you get to, like, North Carolina can be like, we got that guy. And they have Armando Bacot. When good Armando Bacot shows up, they're unbelievable. It's the same, like, Arizona's the same way. When Caleb Love is Caleb Love, just get out of the way.
Well,
every one of these teams in these first eight, you can name a guy on that team. Jamal Shedd for Houston.
Tyler Kolek.
Tyler Kolek. Zach Edey, obviously, probably National Player of the Year. There's just no way. It seems like he was like the presumptive favorite. So, all right. So you're going with Arizona. I'll say Tennessee, and we'll let it all shake out. And we'll see who that turns out to be. On the other side of the equation are those teams desperately trying to get in. And those are the bubble teams. We're going to talk about the major conference teams today. We're going to talk about the ACC, the Big East, the Big Ten, the Big 12, and the SEC. Sorry, Pac-12. You're not good, and you're non-existent anymore anyway because everybody left you and went to the ACC or the Big Ten.
Oh, no, there'll be a football conference in the next 2 years because the money's rolling in, but we'll see who's in it.
It's the Mountain West. It's what it is. Like it's all the Mountain West. But it's so weird. That's such a stupid thing in football. But I think the most intriguing conference to me in terms of teams with work to do, for me, it's the Big 12. Because the Big 12, they have all these teams that had really high net rankings, had really great non-conference schedules because they didn't play anybody during the conference. And so you've got teams like Texas, who's listed as a first four out right now. You've got teams like Kansas State listed as a next four out. TCU has an argument. They're squarely on the bubble. They've already probably got four teams locked up in Houston, Baylor, Iowa State, and Kansas. And so it's a question of who do you like and who still has work to do. But for me, I'm most intrigued by can Kansas State win enough and win enough in their conference tournament to make the dance. They have the most work to do.
I think with the success of the mid-major schools over the last decade and a half, that you need to start making a fact that if you can't go at least 500 in one of these power conferences, unless you got quad wins up the you-know-what, you shouldn't be making it, right? So for me, it comes down to I think Texas Tech will make it. I think TCU will make it. I think BYU and Oklahoma are the teams that need to stay at 500 or above, win a conference tournament game. Texas is just Texas. I don't see Texas or Kansas State getting in unless they make a run and turn it around right now. Because what do we got, 3-4 left? They got to win like 3 or 4 of those games.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's the thing is, you know, Texas's next game is at Texas Tech as we record this. So
they got Baylor. Like,
there's still opportunity there. They got Baylor.
Kansas State has to play Kansas and Iowa State still. So I'm going to say Kansas State not making the tournament.
Right. Kansas State's the one that's got they got work to do if they want to have a chance. And even then, they probably got to win the tournament. So it'll be interesting. Heading over to the ACC, this is where, like, I start to find things get really, really interesting. Because you got Pittsburgh, Pitt, who's sitting at, you know, they don't really have a terrible loss. They have one, well, let's take that back. They have 2 quad 3 losses, so that's not exactly entirely accurate. But 3-5 against quad 1, 2-2 against quad 2. Their strength of schedule is 84, so it's not quite there. Their non-conference was abysmal. But they play at Clemson. They're 18-9. They have the opportunity to maybe get to 20 wins before the season is out, before you head in. 20 is often considered that magic number.
They do have a win over Duke. They have beaten Virginia. So yeah, I mean, that's where you're looking there.
Well, and Virginia is another team that's kind of on the bubble, right? Like they're sitting there.
Oh, I think
they're 20-8.
I think Virginia's in.
I think Wake Forest got in.
Both of them have double digit wins in the conference already.
Right, and Wake that win over Duke was huge. Like it was just huge for them. They needed it. So to pull that off and to get that, and yeah, so I think they're in good shape. Big Ten country. I'm tired. I'm just gonna say I'm tired of Tom Izzo just getting the benefit of the doubt because he's Tom Izzo. How many lackluster losses does his team need to have before quote unquote experts and pundits will acknowledge that this is not an NCAA tournament team?
Well, here's the problem though.
And they're going to Purdue. That's their next game. Is that
they
Purdue?
They already have a win over Baylor. They got to play Northwestern in Indiana. If they beat Purdue, this is basically their playoff game to get into the tournament. They beat Purdue, they're going, because you know they're going to win a couple games in the conference tournament. Michigan State, Tom Izzo just wins conference tournament games.
You lose at home.
They haven't done themselves a favor the last two games. No.
Ohio State. They lost to Iowa. Iowa's playing really good. They're another team that's trying to win out. Like Iowa kind of has to win out. They sort of sparked their tournament hopes, and then Illinois beat them 78-71 after Illinois choked away a game against Penn State, which was just a brutal loss. you know, they do have Purdue. They have Northwestern. They got Northwestern at home. Northwestern isn't the same team. I think Northwestern is going to get in, but it sucks that Tyberry is gone for the season for them, because I think they would have a much better seed. And really, that's the only bubble team. Nebraska? Do you think Nebraska's in? They win at home, and they score a ton.
I think they do. I think Nebraska's in. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think you get at least 6 teams from the Big Ten.
I hope one of them is not Michigan State. I'm also tired of Izzo whining. All right. Like, Izzo bitching and moaning about the transfer portal and being like the ultimate old man yells at cloud over this old shit.
He's getting old.
He is getting old. He's getting old and sad. All right. So we've done that. The SEC. Who we got in the SEC that we want to talk about? You got Mississippi State sitting there. They're 28 in the net. They're 19-8. They should be in. They got Kentucky at home tonight as we're recording. Tonight, yeah. So I don't know how they do against
this. They're down one with 15 seconds to go.
So that's a dramatic game.
And the Badgers in Indiana are tied at 70 with a minute to go. So we got quite the evening. Houston's up 13 on Cincinnati. Kansas is up 10 already. Dayton won today. So
Ole Miss is another one that confounds me. They start off so strong. They've really tumbled as late. They have an opportunity Wednesday, as we're talking about this, against Alabama. They score, they don't defend. They're another team that they're non-con. Like, they played cupcakes. They were like, we're gonna play easy teams and really boost our record. And then died. Their last three, they got Mizzou. They're going to beat Mizzou. They got Georgia. They're going to beat Georgia. Those teams are not good. Though Georgia's not an easy out. But they're gonna win at least two of their next three. I don't, you know, they're playing Bama at home. That's probably the big one that sort of decides it for them. Oh, and they have Texas A&M, who's also on the bubble. That's two bubble-licious teams taking each other on.
I don't think it's hard to say. You get these teams in these conferences that are so top heavy. Yeah,
the winner of Ole Miss and Texas A&M goes to the tournament. And probably plays in the first four.
I don't think A&M makes it into the tournament. I think it's Ole Miss or Mississippi State, depending on who plays better. And it's going to be really hard for Mississippi State being 2 games under 500. But the problem with Mississippi State is they still have to play Auburn and South Carolina, and they might not beat Kentucky all right tonight. So
there you go. All right, last but not least, let's head over to the Big East. Providence is sitting there on the bubble. Seton Hall
Providence
sitting there on the bubble. You think Providence is in?
I think Providence.
They have no bad losses.
No, like, and they bolt raced Marquette in Providence as well. So that was a huge win for them that I can remember. I think this is clear cut. I think you get these top five teams in the Big East. Nova's not going to make it. St. John's ain't going to make it. So I would say that with confidence, especially since Providence gets to beat. I know they have to play Marquette and UConn here, but they get Villanova and Georgetown. So at worst, they're 2-2, and they also have an opportunity for another quad one win.
How bonkers would it be, though, for fucking Patino to run the table out and have an opportunity to make noise in the Big East tournament? St. John's in the Garden. Oh, kind of turns me on a little bit.
Their only quality win was Creighton.
I know. But it's Patino. Yeah. It's the Izzo excuse, right? Like, Izzo gets a benefit of the doubt. Patino, who looks like he just hates being here. Like, he hates college basketball. Sorry, man. I love when Tony is watching sports and we're recording podcasts, by the way. Because you can tell exactly how the game is going without watching.
I pay attention.
I know you pay attention, but I always say, last team I want to talk about, because this was a very hyped team because they made the Final Four last year, brought everybody back, they were the darlings of sports media. But FAU is 21-7 in the American Athletic Conference. They're not going to win their conference. I think they're in second, maybe, or third. They just lost to Memphis. Maybe Memphis is in second in the American Athletic. They've been... I don't know if this is because everybody just loved third and second. They're tied for second with Charlotte right now. if everybody just loved the story so much that they assumed that even though they were moving up in weight class with their conference, that they were just going to run this table, win the conference, win the league, and then turn around and do another run to the Final Four. As it is, South Florida has been the best story of potential Cinderella's, as Amir Abdul-Rahim has taken that team, got them at a 21-5 record, 14-1 in conference. But FAU, they have one big win. They beat Kentucky in Lexington. No, they didn't beat. Who did they beat?
Arizona in double overtime. They also have a win against Texas A&M when they were in the top 20. I would tell you this. If Florida Atlantic wins out,
they're in. They're going to be in no matter what because they're everybody loves them. The committee's not going to do that.
Now that I've seen the Arizona win, likely, but I still think they have to make it to their conference championship game and not lose another game until then.
NCAA tournament loves its narratives. It loves its stories. That's a great story.
I would take a Florida Atlantic over one of these teams we talked about over the Power Five conferences that are like going to end up 500 and lose in their second round conference tournament game and have 18, 19 wins. That's where I agree with what they were doing and bringing in more mid-majors. That's what I want.
Fair enough. So we'll probably have this discussion again next week too. That's after fine. Everybody it's, wins and loses.
Yeah, it's
this
fluid.
Is the best part of the tournament is speculating who's going to go on. But I think that is going to close the book on this week's edition of the Pick and Roll podcast. Before we get out of here, I just want to remind you where to find us. I'm going to go first. And just tell you all, follow me on all the social medias at Wrestling Realist. That's at WrestlingRealist. And while I am doing this short run college basketball podcast with PC Tunney through the NCAA tournament, at least through Selection Sunday, we'll see what happens after that. You can catch me 4 days a week on the Chair Shot Radio Network. Subscribe to our podcasting network wherever you get your podcast, and you will be able to listen to me talk about wrestling, pop culture, hockey, and college basketball. Like I talk about it all. I'm there. Apparently y'all can't get enough of me, so you keep bringing me on podcasts.
It's a true story. Follow me at PC Tunney. You can hear me most days with Patrick O'Dowd as well. Chair Shot Radio Network, sports, entertainment, and sports entertainment. Don't forget ProWrestlingTees.com. Great time this week, Patrick. Can't wait for next week, man. We're marching towards madness. We are.
We got to talk about recording next week after we get off this podcast.
Oh boy, folks! Special announcement coming on social media.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.